Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Lawmasters, the Law of God broadcast. The battle has been fought. All things have been conquered by God. Men can now obtain salvation. But just what is that salvation? Become a factor in the broadcast today. God will, in this episode, reveal the just and unbiased mediator between God and men, speak on the necessity of such a mediator, and demonstrate the function of the mediator. Statements of concern, 1 John 9:4, 2 Timothy 2:15, Hebrews 4:12. No man can work. God is a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB, commonly called King James Version. 2, Acts 1:8, ye God shall receive power. 3, 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Let's get into the broadcast. We have been talking about Armageddon, the battle of that great day of God Almighty. We proceed today. A need for a mediator. Okay. What is truth? Truth is a paradigm constructed of logical, interconnected, yet independent, true-to-life elements. Truth, a paradigm constructed of logical, interdependent, yet independent, true-to-life elements. Look at the things sandwiched between truth and the Word of God. We turn to Ephesians Chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And that is talking about the whole armor of God. And it reads as follows. Ephesians chapter 6, I'll start reading at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In conclusion, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That sounds like the thing that that God has wrestled with in the battle of that great day. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is to the people. And, of course, this message is for the Vatican, those of the Vatican, and the Gentiles. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. How are those of the Vatican and the Gentiles supposed to stand? Here it is, we start reading with verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In this Ephesians 6:14, we have the truth, having the loins girt about with truth. We have the truth there. And in verse 17, we have the word of God. Truth and the word of God. These two things are synonymous. These two things are one and the same. Truth and the word of God. Now, what about the other things in between truth and the word of God? We have righteousness, we have gospel, we have faith, and we have salvation. Salvation, faith, gospel, righteousness. What are those things? Let's look at them one by one. First of all, having on the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness is simply a reference to the righteousness of God. Then, what is the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God consists of those right things that God has done. Now, what are the right things that God has done? Some of those things are the law of the curse that has come from the Vatican, which God has dug up out of Scripture. God has dug up the heart of Scripture, and in the heart of Scripture, we find the things such as the law of the curse. We find the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover. We find the expectations concerning God, the promises concerning God. We have the signs of God, the undeniable signs of God. We have the law of God part one, the law of God part two, among other things. Those are the right things that God has done. So the righteousness of God consists of those right things, those things characterized as being right, righteous, the character of righteousness, those right things God has done. That is what the reference righteousness has to do with. Next thing, the gospel. What is the gospel? Gospel is another word synonymous to truth. We have the gospel of the curse. We have the gospel of the Passover law. We have the gospel of the law of God part one, the gospel of the law of God part two. All those things are gospels. All those things are truths. Okay? So we have righteousness, the right things God has done. We have the gospel, which is a reference to the truth of God, the truth which has come from God, which consists of the things that make up the righteousness of God. Next, we have faith. Faith. What has God done? God, in digging up the heart of the Authorized Version Bible, has dug up, actually, the faith of the Vatican and of the Gentiles, the faith. We see their faith now, the Gentiles' faith, that which they believe, the things which the Gentiles believe. And they, too, are the things which God has found, which God has worked out, which God has dug up. Okay, again, such as the law of the curse, the iniquitous law of Passover, etc., etc. Faith, the law of God in particular, part one and part two. That's the faith of the Gentiles, the faith of the Vatican. they are to believe the things in the law of God, parts 1 and 2, and they are to see that those things come to pass. That is the faith of the Vatican, those of the Vatican, and of the Gentiles. So we have righteousness, we have gospel, we have faith. The Gentiles are to believe the truth of God. The truth of God is those are the Vatican and the Gentiles' faith. The truth of God. Okay. And then we have salvation. What is salvation then? The other three things being actually the word of God, the truth of God. What then is salvation? Salvation is, again, another way of referring to the things of God, the things that have come to the Gentiles by means of God. Salvation is the things making up the truth of God, making up and consisting of the truth of God in the things that I have named already, starting with the curse, the Passover law, the promises, the signs of the presence of God on earth, the expectations concerning God, law of God, part 1, part 2, etc. The salvation of God. So, what is Ephesians 6, 13 through 17 actually saying that the Gentiles are to stand upon what? Well, I've just said that those four things, righteousness, faith, salvation, and gospel are all references to the truth of God, to the word of God. The Gentiles are to stand upon the word of God. They are to lift the word of God up. They are to receive the law of God, are the things that have come to them and that are coming to them from God. So Ephesians 6, 14 through 17 speaks actually of the word of God, the things that God has done and will deliver to the Gentiles and those of the Vatican. Stand upon the word of God. Stand up for the word of God. Okay? So, and those things, truth, righteousness, the righteousness of God, the gospel of God, the faith of God, the salvation of God, those are things God has gained from the battle of the great day during the time of God Almighty. During the time God Almighty is on earth. I have said that the battle was an unseen battle and that the battle took place in Armageddon. Armageddon, symbolic of the mind of God. The battle took place in the mind of God. So the battle was not seen by anyone else. The battle was silent because it took place in the mind of God. So the battle went on unseen and unheard because the battle took place in the intellect of God, in the mind of God. And God came out of the battle with the word of God, those things that make up the word of God, as in the curse, the law of Passover, etc. All right? Those are the things God gained possession of during the battle that took place in the mind of God. Isn't that something? Now, the word of God, which is the statement that we read, ended with the word of God. The word of God is the things that God has dug up, as I said. So what is the Word of God? The Word of God can be seen in my book titled, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. If you want that book, just ask for the book by God, or ask for the book of the law of God. Okay? All right. So, speaking of the battle, speaking of the things that God gained from the battle, those are the things. Let me turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Okay, read. 1 Corinthians 2, rather, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Isn't that something? The things which God has prepared for them that love him. God has prepared the things that I have named, the things making up and constituting the Word of God that can be found in the book of the law of God. God has prepared those things. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay? Now, I am revealing these things by what? By mouth right now. You are listening to the words of my mouth. Okay? Also, the things are revealed in the book of the law of God. Okay? For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And last week, I introduced the phrase all things. And I said that all things right now consist of the things God has gained from the battle. All things consist of the things, all the things that God has written on and will write on, all things. There is a difference in all things and everything. When the Bible wants to say everything, it says everything. When it wants to say all things, it wants to say all things. The Vatican's phrase, all things, has to do with God, okay? Not everything. That's why it's good that you have an authorized version, an AZ Bible, AZB, because in some of the other versions I know, they change words. Words are changed. Phrases are changed. But if one wants to keep with the original, then he must have or she must have an AZB. An authorized version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Okay? The deep things, yea, the deep things of God. One of the definitions of deep refers to having intellectual depth, important, the important things of God, the profound things of God. And those things are in the book of God, the book of the law of God, okay? The deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now let's zoom in on this phrase or statement, the things of God knoweth no man. Things cannot have knowledge of anything. This statement needs to be turned around to read, no man knoweth the things of God. That's a clarification. Just simply turn the statement around. No man becomes the subject rather than things. Because things don't have the mind, the intellect, the intelligence to know anything. The things of God knoweth no man. Turn it around to read, no man knoweth the things of God. And then the statement is true. Because what? No man is a, I have said, nickname the Vatican has placed in the Authorized Version Bible for God. A nickname for God. No man. And God knows the things of God, the things that belong to God. No man knows the things that belong to God. No man, being a proper noun there, is a reference to God. No man, a nickname for God, put there by the Vatican in the AVB. No man knows the things of God. No man knows the things God has written on. No man is a nickname for God. All right. So no man is an appellation. All right. Now we have, and this is the Vatican speaking in behalf of the Gentiles. Now we have received, okay, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God or from God. We have received the Spirit, which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, when the Vatican says they have received the Spirit of God, they are talking about they have received the information which has come from God. Okay? Turn to Acts quickly, chapter 11. Acts 11. Okay? And the first verse. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And the important statement there is the Gentiles had received the word of God. The Gentiles are appointed to receive the word that has come from God. Okay? The Gentiles are to do that. All right? And Acts 28 says these words, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." Okay? The Vatican has written it. That is a determination. That is a Bible determination. That is a papal determination. What is the determination? That the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that the Gentiles will hear it. Okay, and I will come back, I hope to come back to that statement before the hour is over. All right, so in Acts 28:28, and we've said already that the salvation of God is a reference to the things of God, which things can be found in the book of God, the book of the law of God, all things of demonstrated power of God. Okay, the salvation of God being one of the things that the Gentiles are to what? In the statement, put on the whole armor of God. So then another thought on that is the Gentiles are to receive all that God sends them. Put on the whole armor of God. The Gentiles are not at liberty to pick and choose that which they are to believe and carry out and abide by, to receive, and all. They are not at liberty to pick. They are to receive all the salvation of God. They are to receive all the things, and I can say they are to receive all things that God sends to them and that God says to them. The salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. And we know who the Gentiles are. The Gentiles are what? They go by the name white people. They are Europeans. the Gentiles are those people, those Europeans who invaded Africa, conquered Africa and its inhabitants, scattered the inhabitants of Africa, enslaved the inhabitants of Africa, and like I said, scattered many of them, okay, into their own lands and lands that they would take over, all right, the Gentiles, commonly called white people, Europeans, those who took black people into captivity and took possession of the land of Africa. All right, the Gentiles. So we know who we are talking about. We know who the Vatican is speaking about when he speaks about the Gentiles. The Gentiles are a real people, just as the Vatican is a real organization. Rome, Italy, Vatican City, a real operation. The papacy, the Pope, real things, real people. Okay, the Gentiles are not at liberty to pick and choose that which God speaks to them on, or the things that God writes, has written on, and delivers to them. They are not at liberty to pick and choose. They are to put on the whole armor of God. They are to take and receive all that God says and all that God sends to them. Isn't that something? The truth of Bible content. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 22. Okay, well, we dealt with, I'm sorry, verse 12, that is. We dealt with verse 12, and we turned around the statement at the end of verse 12 to read the things of God knoweth no man. We turned it around to read no man knows the things of God. That's verse 11. Now let's move on to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God is at this time freely dispensing of his information to the Gentiles, even as I speak. Okay? Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, and so forth, okay? But that is the part in 1 Corinthians 2 that I wanted to speak on. Maybe some other time we'll get to some of the rest of it that needs to be explained, but let that suffice us right now. Okay? Talking about the armor of God, talking about things God has gained from the battle of that great day, when God fought out the spiritual battle in his mind. And what was God fighting against? God was fighting against the wickedness. Wickedness. Actually, as I said, this statement in Ephesians says it quite well, what God was actually fighting against. And in that, we can see who God was fighting against. Who was fighting God? We can see the two entities involved in the war. Okay, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers. Look at this: principalities, powers, rulers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Powers, rulers, principalities. And who are the rulers that I speak of? The top rulers. Those are the Vatican. And of course it comes on down, you know, in the echelon of, you know, Gentile organization. You know, you have the Gentiles and their leaders, you know, local level leaders. Local leaders, and it moves on up, you know, country-wise, it moves on up even further. The Vatican, the Pope, is head of all Gentiles. The Pope has been head of all Gentiles, that is, okay? And that's something to keep in mind. The Pope has been head of all Gentiles. All right. So the highest office in the Gentile world is that of the papacy. The highest Gentile office, that of the papacy. Okay. And those are the things which God has fought against. Wickedness that they have done, that they have created, that they have put forth. Principalities, powers, rulers. And, of course, in that battle, God has, in the battle of the great day, during the time of God Almighty, God has won that battle. And evidences, proofs of God's winning the battle is found in the things that actually God sends to the Gentiles, the things that make up the righteousness of God, things that make up the truth of God, which I've spoken on, things that make up the faith of God, the faith of the Gentiles, things that make up and constitute the very word of God. All right? Those things are proof of the battle that God has fought out in his own mind and in his own time. Let's turn to Ephesians and take a look at that, see what Vatican has to say about God in the book, not Ephesians, but Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Okay, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. But first of all, let's start with verse 10. Ecclesiastes 3, 10 and 11. The Vatican is speaking, saying, I have seen the travail or work which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And, of course, those sons of men are defined in the statements that I've read already, such as Acts 28:28, the Gentiles, okay? And, okay. I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised, okay? Verse 11. He, God, has made everything beautiful when? In his time. He, God, has made everything beautiful during the time of his life on earth. In his time, during the time of God on earth, God has made everything beautiful. Now, what is this everything? Everything here now is a reference to all the things that God has made. Okay? Because it's talking about God. Remember in 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about the things of God. No man knows. God knows the things that belong to God. Okay? Okay? And those things are here called everything in his own time. So everything here is a reference to all things in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Everything is a reference to all things in chapter 3. And during God's lifetime here on earth, God has made everything that he has made, the Vatican says, beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in his own, in his time, during the time, during the lifetime of God here on earth. All right. So follow me closely as I say, follow me closely. This information, this is prime time information. This is mainstream information. This is prime time and mainstream information. Follow this information closely. And thus far, we have concluded that it is the Vatican's will that the Gentiles put on the whole armor of God. They cannot pick and choose the things which they will receive and believe that come from God. They are to receive the Vatican has said, everything that comes from God to them. All right, that's a determination. A thing already made, already settled. Okay. All right, moving right along. Right along. Okay, let's see where we are here. Now, look at we have looked at the thing sandwiched between truth, Ephesians 6:14, and the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. All these things: breastplate of righteousness, preparation of the gospel, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and sword of the Spirit, are merely different ways of saying or referring to the Word of God. They are not different and separate elements making up a single whole. They are all reference of one thing, and that one thing is the Word of God. Okay? And the Gentiles, we have concluded from the Vatican's word in Ephesians 6 that the Gentiles are to stand. How? Stand, therefore. Take unto you the whole armor of God. Okay. Ephesians 6:13. All right. Ephesians 6:10-11 and verses 13-17 teaches compliance. The Gentiles are to be in compliance with the Word of God. The Gentiles are to stand with, in support of, in compliance with, and in obedience to, in defense of the Word of God, all of it, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Okay. All right, we move right along. Two parties, God and men. What can people including those of the Vatican, do in light of the knowledge of God? One, they can ignore it, they can overlook it, they can dismiss it, they can discard it. Two, they can resist it, say it is not so, seek to discount and to discredit it. They can speak against it, they can be quiet on it. How can God win? Answer, a mediator or arbiter or judge is necessary. Question, is there a mediator? Answer, yes, there is a mediator. Question, and just who, what, and where is that mediator? And what assurance can we have that such mediator will be just, impartial, unbiased, etc., in his/her/its judgments? Answer, we have such a mediator in the crucial matter of the AZB. To overcome the frailties of men, the authors of the crucial content of the AZB have set down safeguards, precautions, measures taken beforehand against possible danger, failure, etc., to ensure the success of God. A question regarding God's well-being is set in Genesis 16:13, and that statement is worth us turning to. Genesis 16:13. All right? And we know, of course, the book of Genesis is the first book of the authorized version. Okay? Chapter Genesis 16:13 says, And she called, this is the word of the Vatican, okay? And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou, God, seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Now, what is the word that has come from the Vatican? The word is, Thou, God, seest me. The Vatican is saying to God, You, God, see me. How do I see the Vatican? I see the Vatican in terms of scripture, in terms of the crucial matter of Bible content. I see the Vatican. Okay? Now, they say, and I am to see the Vatican physically, okay, at the appointed time. The Vatican has been notified to prepare to meet its God. Okay, or the Pope has been and is being notified, and the notification says to the Pope from God, prepare to meet thy God. So there will be an appointment that the Pope has to make concerning God. So the Vatican says to God, Thou seest me. Now the Vatican asks God the question, saying, Have I, the papacy, Pope, also here looked after him that sees me? Okay? That's a good question to remember, a good statement and question to remember as we move on. Saying, Thou, God, seest me, have I also here looked after him that is God that seeth me? The word here in that statement, Genesis 16:13, is a reference to Bible content. The Vatican asked God, Have I here in this book, the Bible, looked after him that seeth me? And that question is preceded by a statement saying, Thou, God, seest me. So we know the question is also talking about God. Okay? Have I also here in Bible content looked after him that seeth me? And we will see that answer shortly. Okay, at this time, let's have a musical interlude and make announcements. First, let's have a musical interlude if that is ready. Okay. I don't think my engineer is at the helm there, okay, or at the table. All right, announcements. Lawmaster's profile page. Be sure you look at the profile page, go to the profile page, and on the profile page, center column, check out the links. Work the links. One link is a PayPal link. You can go there to order or to get to obtain your copy of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. And you need that book. We've been speaking during this program of the things God has for the Gentiles, God has prepared for the Gentiles. The Gentiles are to get this document. The Gentiles are to get this information from God. Okay, I'm, of course, teaching on it freely over these lines here, online here, or on the internet. But do, go to Lawmaster's profile page, center column, find the links, the two links, in the center column, and obtain your copy of the Book of the Law of God, All Things the Demonstrated Power of God. Next, there's the YouTube link. Click on the YouTube and visit our YouTube presentation. It's a beautiful thing, well done, well worked by Mr. Welch, and it's certainly worthy of your time, and just go there and follow the instructions, but click on the YouTube link and click on the PayPal link to obtain your copy of the Word of God. The Word of God as named in the Ephesians chapter 6 that we read earlier. The Word of God, the truth of God, the truth that has come from God, the truth coming from God, the Word coming from God. We have the Word of truth. We have the Word of God. We have the Word from the truth from God. We have the Word from God. You are hearing, you are listening to the Word coming from God. The papacy is God. Okay? The God that the Bible talks about. The God right here on earth, not in the sky somewhere. Whatever is up there in the sky, if there's anything, but nothing up there in the sky has written anything and carried out any of the instructions in the Bible. Nothing up in the sky has done that. Someone here on earth has done those things that the Vatican has called for in the authorized version. And the one who does those things, the one who has done those things in carrying out the instructions of the Vatican as they are set down in the authorized version Bible, the Vatican in the Bible calls that individual God. Okay? So let's be clear on that. Let's be clear. The Bible speaks in terms of a real being when it talks about God. I know that the first verse in the Bible starts out with, "In the beginning God created the heaven and earth." Okay? That's one statement. But what about all the other statements which speak about God on earth in human form, carrying out the instructions of the Vatican, the will of the Vatican, carrying that will of the Vatican out, putting it into operation? That's what we are talking about, real things and not imaginary things, okay? Put on the whole armor of God. What is the armor of God? I have laid out in this program what the armor of God is. And that armor of God, what consists of those things that God has written on and the things as well that God speaks on. Okay? So, ending in conclusion in the announcements, visit Lawmasters page and click on the two links. Click on the PayPal link and click on the YouTube link. It both are worth your while. Okay? Do those things. Do we have a musical interlude ready? If so, let's run it. Don't think it's ready now. So we will continue with the message. This is a very detailed message, and I'm taking my time in order that you get a good understanding of what's being talked about, in order that you get a good understanding of what the Bible is talking about. Real things, not imaginary things. This is a great time to be alive because we are living in the time of God on earth, a real personality, not an imaginary figure, a real personality that is carrying out instructions from the Vatican, instructions that the Vatican has set down in Bible content. God has gathered those things. God has ordered those things, put them in order. God has prepared them, and as the statement said, which we read earlier, God has prepared for them that love him. Now, who are to love God? The Gentiles are to love God, and we'll get to that later on as, you know, I will read from my document on the issue of God, and we're talking about the issue of God even now. The issue of God has come up. It came up last week. It came up, from now on out, we'll be talking about the issue of God. Matter of fact, the three previous broadcasts have been on God, Armageddon, 1, 2, and 3, is about God. Okay, God carrying out, God fighting out the battle in his wrestling, his struggle, his contending with the word of the Vatican. Crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible. God has overcome that crucial content. God has conquered the crucial content of Bible, of the AZB. God has mastered the content, the crucial content of the AZB. And God has prepared things for those that love him. And we know that by law, the Gentiles are to have a show of love or concern, if you will, for God. Okay? And we'll see more of that as time goes on. Okay, let us continue. Okay, so the question, the statement in Genesis 16:13, and the question, "Thou God seest me, have I also here looked after him, God that seeth me." Look after means to take care of, watch over. Okay, take care of, watch over them that love him. Take care of him, they watch over him. All right. We can see the papacy's hand in the matter in Ephesians 6 chapter, when it spoke about principalities, powers, and rulers. Okay? Those of the Vatican are rulers. Okay? The authors of the crucial content of the AZB set down measures to ensure and make sure the identification, recognition, and certainty of the Godhead and the things they have set down can be cannot be compromised. Okay, let me get this straight here. Make sure the identification, recognition, and certainty of the Godhead and the things they have set down cannot be compromised. Can neither be compromised nor denied. Daniel 11:36 says that determined shall be done. Daniel 11:36 says that determined shall be done. Determined means to settle a dispute, question, etc. Conclusively, decide. I will give a few examples of the many determinations Bible wide. The first example, Daniel 4:29. And I have to turn to this, Daniel 4:29. Okay. Coming up here, Daniel 4:29. I may have a misreference here. 4:29. I'm looking at Daniel 4:29, and that's not what I want. Okay, I should have written that out. Nevertheless, let's move on to Daniel 4:28. I must have the wrong chapter listed here. Okay, pardon me for that. I have the wrong chapter listed. Okay. John 13:3. Let's see what that has to say. Then. John 13:3. And the crucial part of that statement in John 13:3 speaks about the Father had given all things into his hands. Okay. And that he was come from God and went to God. But the first first part, the Father had given all things into his hand. All things have been put into the hands or possession of God. The Father here in that statement then would be the Pope, the papacy. The papacy has put all things into the hands of God. All things have been delivered to God. I spoke earlier saying that God gained these things that the Bible calls all things from the battle during the time of God on earth, and God is still on the earth, okay? But these things have been gained from the battle. Here the statement says the Father has given all things into his God's hand. All things have been delivered to God. One thing for certain is God is in possession of all things at this time. Okay? God is in possession. And the proof of that is in the content that God has that is concrete, physical, can be seen, can be handled. Okay? God is now in possession of all things. God is now in possession of the crucial matter of Bible content. And let me move on because time is certainly going. John 16:16 says these words, and we are talking about determinations. All things have been delivered to God. That's a determination. That's a Bible. That's a papacy. That's a Vatican determination. 16:16 John says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. It is already determined that the Pope will visit God. It's already determined. That's a determination. And precautions. Remember, we were speaking about precautions and determinations, okay, that the Vatican has taken. The precautions that the Vatican has taken to ensure the success of God. And we also have Bible determinations. Things already settled. It is already settled that the Pope will visit God during God's time here on earth. And that is to take place shortly. I say again, that is to take place shortly. Okay? I go to the Father. The Pope is to pay God a visit. Okay? Acts 11:1, the Gentiles have also received the word of God. That's a determination. Okay, that's something already settled, that the Gentiles are to receive the word that comes from God. Acts 28:28, the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles and that they will hear. It's already determined that the Gentiles will hear the word that comes from God. Okay? Whether it be by the book of God or whether it be by the voice of God, the Gentiles, is already determined that the Gentiles will hear it. Hear it. Okay, let's move on. Okay, Exodus 20:19 says, speak thou with us, and the Vatican is talking to God. Okay, speak thou with us, Gentiles, and we will hear. Exodus 20:19, speak thou with us, and we will hear. That's a promise, isn't it? That's a promise. It's also a determination. It is determined that the Gentiles will hear. It's again in this statement of Exodus 20:19. And as we go off the screening part of the program, as that comes to an end, please stay with me because I will continue this lecture here. And also, if anyone has questions or wants to make a comment, you know, a good comment, call in. The call-in number is 716, let's see here, I know I'm looking all over it. 10 seconds. Okay, I'm looking all over that calling in number. Okay, 1-718-664-6262. 718-664-6262. That's the guest call in number. Call in. All right? I'll be here. So we continue with the lecture. Okay, all those things that I just, those statements, those determinations, those precautions that I just read, all those things are determinations. Those determinations are precautions, and those precautions are authoritative. They are all authoritative. Okay? So in answer to the Genesis 16:13 question I have here, I say, in the precautions, I say, which permeate the scriptures, the Vatican of old has looked after God. And you can see that they're saying to God, the Gentiles will hear, we will hear. The papacy is saying to God with regard to the Pope that the Pope is to visit God. That's already determined. Okay, official statement. The Gentiles, those of the Vatican included, should abide by things already determined in the crucial matter of the AVB, which things I show in my speech and writings. We do have a mediator in the things decided in the crucial matter of the AVB, commonly called King James Version. A mediator as such cannot be bought, cannot be bribed, cannot be unfair or biased, cannot be intimidated, cannot be partial, cannot be bigoted, etc. All Gentiles are subordinate to the AVB's crucial matter. All Gentiles are subordinate to the precautions slash determinations in the AVB. As the Gentiles have been subordinate to the Vatican's law of the curse against Africa and its inhabitants, and as the Gentiles have been subordinate to the Vatican's iniquitous Passover law, even now the Gentiles should be subordinate to and in compliance with the word concerning God in the AVB. Now let's look at the word of mediation, the determining factor. The word of mediation, the determining factor. In the AVB, important issues are raised, questions are raised, and definitive answers are given. For example, on the issue of greatness, the question, Luke 9:46, which of them, the Pope or God, should be greatest? Luke 9:46. Okay. Luke 9:46. Excuse me. 9:46 says these words. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest? Of course, the crucial content in that statement is, which of them, God or the Pope, should be greatest? Okay? Answer, the precaution slash determination comes in Job 33:12, saying, I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Of course, the Gentiles are to make sure, the Gentiles are to fulfill that statement, make it happen, that God is greater than man, the Pope being man, and of course, God being the one the Vatican calls God in the Authorized Version Bible, a reference to myself. Okay. Luke 4:32 speaks in regard to the Luke 9:46 question, saying his word. The question in Luke 9:46 was with or about power. Let's turn to that quickly, Luke 9. Okay. Luke 4:32 says these words. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Okay, the question first, which should be the greatest? That question was about power, for his word was with power. His word was with there means about power. With means about, I mean, with means about or concerning. The statement says his word was with power. His word was concerning power. His word was about power. Which of them should be the greatest? I will answer thee that God is greater than man. So Luke 4:32, his word was about power, speaks in regard to the Luke 9:46 question, saying his word, the question in Luke 9:46 was about power, to which the word of mediation, the precaution slash determination, says in Psalm 62:11, power belongeth to God. That's a determination. That's a precautionary move, and the statement is a determination. It has been determined by the Vatican that power belongs to God. All right? During this day and time, during God's lifetime here on earth, during God's life here on earth, the Vatican has concluded, and it cannot be changed, power belongeth to God. The Vatican and those of the Vatican and the Gentiles must see that that statement is fulfilled. Literally, physically fulfilled, power belongeth to God. The word of mediations, the precautionary word speaks definitely and definitively. It is clear and precise. We're talking about power belongs to God, and the other statement, God is greater than man. Okay? But the mediated word does not stop there on the issue of greatness. In 1 John 3:20, it goes on to say, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Let me turn to there because there may be something that I want to point out in that statement. Okay. Let's see. 1 John. Okay, 1 John 3:20. It says, if our heart condemn us, and this is the Vatican, those are the Vatican talking, this is the papacy talking, if their heart, the heart that God has dug up out of the Authorized Version Bible, the Vatican says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. It's already said God is greater than man. Now it's saying God is greater than their own heart. God is greater than the heart or the crucial content of the Authorized Version Bible. Get that. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That's already concluded, that God knows all things. The definition of it skipped my mind just as fast as it came to my mind. It'll come back to me. Let's move on. But God is greater than our heart. God is greater than man. God knows all things. The papacy has said in Bible content that the Pope will visit God. These are precautionary moves. These are determinations that have already been made. Things already settled. Things already decided that cannot be changed but must be fulfilled. Okay? All right. Power belongs to God. God is greater than man. God is greater than the heart of the AVB. God knows all things, and 4, power belongs to God. Those are things the Pope is to believe and abide by. Anything less than that is sin, and those are things all other Gentiles are to believe and abide by. Anything less than that is sin. Authority lies in the word of mediation. In that word of mediation, we have the determinations and the precautionary measures, okay? In the word of mediation, which consists of the determinative precautionary statements of the law. So, when the Vatican says God is greater than man, the Vatican says God is greater than the heart of the AVB, God knows all things, and when the Vatican says power belongs to God, those are law statements. Those are legal statements. Those are statements of the law. What is authority but power? Hear what the law says in Romans 13, 1 through 3. And I have to turn to that. Romans 13, 1 through 3. And I'm turning. Should get there shortly. Romans 13, 1 through 3 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For, listen, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. And 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. That's a Vatican statement. That is a statement of authority. That is a statement of the law that has to do with God. Okay? The ordinance of God says clearly, power belongeth to God. To resist the power is to resist God, and according to the law, to resist God is to sin, and as says the law, the penalty of sin is death. This is where we are today. We are in the time of the day of God, and in this day of God, the AVB's law of God, or law concerning God, is, as it were, awakened, brought to life, raised to life, raised from the dead. In light of these things, the Vatican has issued the following official statement, Matthew 3:15, to the Gentiles, saying, suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us, the Gentiles, all Gentiles, to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. The righteous statements, to fulfill all the righteous statements of the law. Okay, such as God is greater than man. Make that, they ought to make that happen. God is greater than the heart of the AVB. God knows all things. And 4, power belongs to God. Okay, to see the signs of the actual presence of God on earth, go to the Lawmaster's archives and download the program dated April 25 and May 02. That is www.blogtalkradio.com/lawmaster. Acts 1:8 contains a related determination. The determination is for me. I am told, ye shall receive power. Power being legal ability or authority. Okay? Question, have I received power? If so, where is the evidence, or what evidence do I have? My answer, I have received power as spoken beforehand in the Acts 1:8 determination. My proof of reception is in that which I now have in my possession. I have the Vatican's laborious writ on all things. The document is in my book. What document? The document of the writ on all things is in my book, the book of the law of God, all things, the demonstrated power of God. The Acts 1:8 determination has come to pass. To get a copy of the Vatican's Laborious Writ on All Things, go to my profile page and click on the PayPal link. The Acts 1:8 determination is an end which God has met. Okay? Okay, again, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/lawmaster. So what have I said? I have said that in the crucial matter of the AZB, precautions slash determinations are set down to prevent and rule out the frailties of men. Precautions, determinations are set down to prevent and rule out the frailties of men. I now move on to a question of judgment. The question is in John 7:51, which says, "Doth our law judge any man before it hears him and know what he says or what he does?" That is the question. Here are the judgments. Isaiah 57:8, "Thou hast discovered thyself." And that I dropped my phone, so let me hook my earplug back up. Okay, the statement says, the determination says, thou hast discovered thyself. And I was saying that statement has come to pass. I have discovered myself in the Authorized Version Bible. I have seen myself in the Authorized Version Bible. I have discovered that the Vatican or the papacy talks to me by means of the crucial matter of Bible content. Okay, the call-in number, 718-664-6262. That's 718, guest call-in number, 718-664-6262. Call in if you want to. All right? Okay. I'm waiting here. I will continue with the lecture. Okay, here we go. All right. Okay, trying to find out where I stopped. Okay, the judgments. Isaiah 57:8, thou hast discovered thyself. That has come to pass. As I said just a moment ago, I have discovered myself in the Authorized Version Bible. I have discovered that when the Vatican speaks to God, is speaking to me, when the Vatican speaks to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, capital L, small case O-R-D, they're talking to me. They talk to me directly by means of the crucial matter of Bible content. They tell me what to do, and I do it. Okay? Okay, and as I said once before, you may read the same thing that I read, but you don't think they are talking to you, so you don't do what they say do. Okay? All right, but anyway, let's move on. Next judgment, John 17:17, thy word is truth. The question is in the book of John, chapter 18, I believe, that says, what is truth? Here the Vatican says to me, thy word is truth. Okay, remember, put on the whole armor of God, having your loins girt about with truth. The Vatican says right here to me, thy word is truth. Truth is defined. Let's move on. 1 John 3:20, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. All right? And we've already said that no man knoweth the things of God. All three statements have something in common. Each expresses an opinion, a judgment. In each of the statements, something is said to God or about God. The statements were written aforehand or before God actually appeared on the scene. In the Isaiah 57:8 statement, I am judged as having discovered myself. In the John 17:17 statement, my word is judged as being truth. And in the 1 John 3:20 statement, I am judged as being greater than the AZB's heart, and I am judged as knowing all things. In all three statements, God is judged beforehand. Now remember the question. The question in John 7:7 says, Does our law judge any man before it hears him and know what he does? Yet, in all three statements I just read, God is judged beforehand. Now, back to the John 7:51 question. Does our law, coming down from the Vatican, judge any man before it hears him and knows what he does? These are my observations regarding the question. One. Without regard to the question's syntactic structure, the question serves in an advisory function. The question advises God to be aware of judgments made beforehand in the Authorized Version Bible by those of the papacy whose job it was to write scripture. Example here. Psalm 7:9 says, God tries the heart. Now, the word try means to settle a matter by a test or contest. It means to fight out. It means to examine and decide. It means to attempt to find out or determine by effort. Okay? God tries the heart. Psalm 7:9. I have tried the heart, and let me turn to that because I think there is a thing I want to point out about that. Psalm 7:9. Says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. Now, we're going to focus on the statement that says, for the righteous God trieth the hearts. I have tried the heart of the Authorized Version Bible and found that there is but one heart. In the statement, the Vatican puts S to the word heart, making it plural. Okay? In my discovery, I found that the Authorized Version Bible contains only one heart. Okay? He tries the heart. I discovered that by trying the heart. The righteous God tries the heart. And we know when it speaks about the heart, it's speaking about the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. Okay? I have tried the heart of the Authorized Version Bible and found, that there is only one heart. And in trying that one heart of the Authorized Version Bible, I have found things inside the heart, such as the Vatican's law of the curse against African people, the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover. I have found the Vatican's writ on all things, and etc. Okay? All by trying, and in the word try definition, you have fight out. Remember the battle that I've spoken about, that I fought out in my own mind, in the mind of God. I have fought out the battle and made much gain. Okay, moving on. Psalm 7:11. Psalm 7:11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God judges the righteous. Okay? God judges the righteous. This brings up the law, the section in my book called The Law of God, Part 1, God Judges the Righteous. The Law of God. I have judged the Law of God and found that the Law of God is a righteous law. It is a good law, okay? So those two things have come to pass. Psalm 7, 9, God tries the heart. I have tried the heart of the AZ Bible, and Psalm 7, 11, God judges the righteous. I have judged the righteous content of the Vatican that is found in the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. Okay. Second, number two, the second observation is that the prejudgments in the AVB are made as regards or concerning God and not man. Isn't that something? Okay. The prejudgments are made with regard to God and not man. Now, both of these one and two statements, observations, come out of the question, the 751 question, where the Vatican says, does our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he does? Conclusion, God is judged beforehand in the AZB. One can really see that in the Vatican's expectations concerning God. To see the expectations concerning God, go to Lawmaster's profile page and click on the archive dated May 23rd, 2010. Lawmaster's internet address, www.blogtalkradio.com/Lawmaster. Okay? Now, in answer to the question, does our law judge any man before it hears him or knows what it does, and I've determined that the papacy has judged God, but it judged God and not man. The question has to do with man. Does our law judge any man before it hears him and knows what he does? In their prejudgment of God, they judge God and not a man. Okay? So we move on. Consider Isaiah 42:1 and Matthew, the statement in Matthew 12:18, which is a restatement of Isaiah 42:1. He, God, shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He, God, shall show judgment to the Gentiles. That is exactly what I am presently doing. The citations are statements descriptive of God. The citations are determinations concerning God. The citations are things already decided. The citations are judgments. The citations are judgments I am presently showing to the Gentiles, even as I speak, just as the citations say. Luke 4:21 says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I ask, what scripture is this day being fulfilled in your ears? Today, this scripture, Isaiah 42:1/Matthew 12:18, is being fulfilled even now as I speak to you, the hearer. I am showing you judgment. Remember the statement says, he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. I have said before, we are living right now in the time of God. I ask, what day or time are we presently in? Okay, what day or time are we presently in? The answer is found in Matthew 12:36. What am I speaking about? Okay, I must read Matthew 12:36. Matthew 12:36 says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Okay? The question is, what day or time are we living in? The answer is found in Matthew 12:36, which speaks about the day of judgment. What am I speaking about? Romans 2:2. Okay, let's go to Romans 2:2. Romans 2:2 says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. The statement of interest, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Okay? I am speaking about the judgment of God now. We are living in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Okay? That's Romans 2, 5. But after thy hardness and an impenitent heart, treacherous up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. That which is crucial and concerns us now is the ending part, beginning with revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Okay? We are living in the day of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it is truly an amazing thing. We are presently living in the time, the day that the Bible speaks so much about. Scripture is literally being fulfilled right before our very eyes. What a remarkable thing. This is prime time information. This is mainstream information. God is here, and he is showing judgment to the Gentiles. And what are we told by the Vatican concerning the Gentiles and the word of salvation of God? What are we told about it? Acts 28:28. We are told the Gentiles will hear the word of God. That's a determination. Hear 2 Corinthians 6:22, which says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So we are speaking about the day of God. We are speaking about the day of judgment. We are speaking about the day of the day of salvation, and the day of God. Okay. And in this time, it is time to build up. It is time to speak out in defense of the word of God, truth of God. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 3 and 7, it is time for God to speak and the Gentiles to hear and act accordingly. Okay? But know this as we come to an end. In the AVB, it is not a strange thing that the papacy has called for and expects God to come and manifest himself. Now, with that being the case, it is not a strange thing in that God has come and he seeks to make his presence known. This is a good thing. The papacy has vowed to honor God at his coming. Look at the statement in Psalm 94:1. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Consider John 7, verse 4. If thou do these things, things that are written in the writ, show thyself to the world. Consider Acts 28:22. The Vatican says to God in clear, easy to understand terms, we desire to hear of you. They say to God, we desire to hear from you, because the word of there means from. We desire to hear from you. That's what they have said to me. And now God has come, and God is responding to the Vatican. God is speaking to the Gentiles in a very real way. God is showing judgment to the Gentiles, those of the papacy included. That's the message for today. Any comment? Any question? Okay. Doesn't seem like we have anyone on the lines there. Okay. So I'm getting ready to sound off, ready to sign off. But right before I do, remember, join us next week. I do hope to be on next week. It may be at 11 or 12 o'clock rather than 10 Eastern Standard Time, but nevertheless, I do expect to be on and hope to be on. So, join us again next week, next Sunday morning. Check Lawmaster's profile page for the exact time. That should be up by Tuesday or Wednesday. No later than Wednesday, really. So join me next time for another Lawmaster's broadcast on the law of God. Thank you. Okay, I'm in the chat room here. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and just sign out. Okay.